Hello, I'm on to beat them back with another episode of Once a Warrior. Now, my guest today has done it all in the game, grand final winner and also a World Cup winner. Nathan Fiend, thanks for your time, brother. How are you?
Once, awesome, mate. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I've seen you on the sideline and I just saw you down at Go Media Stadium earlier this year, mate. Amongst it with the Dolphins. Talk to me about your role.
Yeah, loving it, actually. Yeah, got the opportunity, to join the Dolphins as an assistant and, you know, primarily just concentrating on the attack and what we're doing with the ball in hand. But really enjoying the experience working with both Wayne and Wolfie. And, a new club, we get to, put our little mark on it, put a bit of DNA in the place, which is really exciting. And, 2023, we started the year off really well and hit a bit of a stumbling patch for that middle part of the year. But, we're back bigger and better and looking forward to a big 2024.
Now, so you're on the sideline in 2023, there for the Warriors games and also this year earlier in the trial. Talk to me about the Warriors, if you can sum them up.
Yeah, geez, they were really impressive. The back end of last year and the run that they got on. And I just love the style of footy that we're playing. Obviously, Webby's had a really big impact on the group. You've got guys also, really settled in their footy, Shawnee in particular, and, what he was able to do with the team. He just looked like a much more settled player going back home and being around his family and friends. And, they just look like they've just grown in stature. And, what the Wars were able to do last year in terms of their run to the finals after, spending those couple of COVID years away and where they were displaced. And, I was just really happy for them that they're able to get back and do what they did last year. Very much looking forward to seeing how they do go in 2024. But hopefully it can be in a grand final against the Dolphins, perhaps. That'll be ideal.
Works for me, brother. 105 games, plenty of memories and plenty of highlights. Let's take a look at some of them.
Bean, it opened up just like that. Bean's got running the football. Great ball, great angle, great line, great try. Jeff picking behind the line. Oh, perfect, just perfect. Fiend's away. Fiend, Moff running again. Middleman coming to the fore. Fiend at dummy half. He grabbers, and that is the winner. Fiend, straight through. We'll get there. Great hands by Fiend, who goes for the corner and wins the race. Fiend goes himself and scores. There's the match winner.
Finny, when you watch that back, doesn't seem like too long ago. What's the memories that come to mind, man?
Yeah, what a little whippersnapper, eh? Geez, I wish I still had that body, that I had from my playing days. But, the hair's a little bit thinner as well. I can't rock any of those hairstyles anymore. But very proud, Monts. Out of my three clubs, I ended up playing close to 300 games. But, I played 105 at the Warriors and, which turned out to be the most that I had at any one of my clubs and, probably made me as a footballer, turned me into an out-and-out NRL player, the things that I was able to learn and just how welcome, my family and I felt when we did make the trek, from North Queensland over to the Warriors and to Auckland. We just immediately felt right at home and, it translated into my footy. I was able to, just play with a free sort of style and, it just fit in really well with some of those big boys that we had and, got some lifelong friends and, memories that I'll cherish forever.
Actually, you were close to a ton with the Cowboys. So when was it an actual thing that someone came to you and said, did you think about the Warriors? How did it go?
Yeah, okay. It all happened pretty quick, Monts, to be honest. I was sort of probably at crossroads at the Cowboys. I was coming off a knee reconstruction the year before. I was sort of up and down with my form at the Cowboys the start of 2004 and actually found myself playing a little bit of reserve grade there. I sort of had to fight my way back and fortunately I was able to do that because we had a really cool run into the 2004 finals with the Cowboys. Being a part of that team, which was the first Cowboys team to play finals footy was cool. But probably about halfway through the year, Daniel Anderson sort of reached out and, he was interested in getting me over there, over to the Warriors. And I was quite curious about it all. And, the likes of Ruben had just signed, Stephen Price had just signed, the opportunity to play with the likes of Stacey Jones. And, I felt like I could learn a lot from playing alongside a player like Stace. I thought it was just an opportune time to get over to a club that was on the up. And, you know, I thought I could play my best footy around some of those players. So it was quite easy in the end. You know, obviously a few things changed. I think, you know, Daniel got sacked before I even had sort of got over there, but nothing changed. You know, I was still really positive about the move. And going into it, we were excited about, you know, the lifestyle and the cultural side of things, to experience a little bit of family life. And, you know, Belinda and I made the move and made the jump. And, you know, as I said, I'm glad I did, because, yeah, I played, you know, some of my best footy in the Warriors jersey, that's for sure. And got some treasured memories along the way, which, you know, I'll never forget.
When we think about the Cowboys and we think about the Warriors, there's been a lot of back and forth. Some of your teammates were there, Georgie Gaitis, Michael Lark, you know, Ravelli, Jacob Lilleman. Is there some similarities there? Why are some of the legends from up there in Townsville coming down here and vice versa, and they seem to just be seamless in their transition?
Yeah, I think it's a similar environment, Monts, in terms of, you know, being that one-team town, or, you know, in the Warriors' case, it's one team in the whole country, right? So I guess that, you know, the culture side of things, and, you know, you look after each other, and, you know, when you come over, it's really family-orientated. That there's a lot of similarities with the Cowboys and the Warriors in that sense. And, you know, it is a special thing, and it's powerful, and it's not at every club. It definitely, you know, the Warriors and the Cowboys, you definitely felt right at home, and you felt right at home as soon as you got there. And, you know, that's probably why, you know, a lot of the Cowboys players that start there have come over.
Well, Finney, everyone wants to be there for round one, especially if it's your debut season and you were there for round one. I mean, it was a very good Manly. So what do you remember of that and just that moment and running out onto the field?
Yeah, I was very excited, Monts. One of the things that really sticks out was I ended up getting a head cut. I had a head clash. I think it was with Arwen. It just bled and just wouldn't stop bleeding, and strapping up my head, and it was still just spurting out. But, yeah, it's funny the small things that you remember. I'm pretty sure we lost that game, but, you know, it was just great to be a part of what the Warriors were, and running out the tunnel with, you know, those drums beating that I heard, you know, years earlier when I'd come and play it against you guys. It was great to be on that side of the fence and actually, you know, representing Auckland and representing the Warriors and obviously the country as well.
That was a great year in terms of the class of 2005, because I'll say Pricey, Wiki, Skinny, Todd Burns and Simon Mannering.
Yep.
Between you five, 627 games. And I know 301 with the GOAT, but you played 105. That was a group of men assembled together that did some great things for the club in terms of the foundations moving forward and legacy.
Yeah, well, look, you know, obviously the grand final a few years before, and a bit of changing of the guard, I suppose, in terms of coaching and, you know, different things that were happening at the club. We were able to, you know, I guess, yeah, put that that slab down, if you like, or that foundation, you know, that allowed us to do some things in 2006, 7 and 8. You know, it definitely takes that long to sort of filter through in terms of your performance. You know, we had players coming in and sort of leaving at the time, and, you know, but those years were awesome, and you can put that down to the way, you know, that 2005 team was able to knuckle down and set some standards, because that's, you know, sort of what was the, I guess, the base of our game sort of moving forward, you know, based on what those guys were able to do up front and, you know, just establish, you know, the standards and our style of footy, our DNA, if you like, and, you know, how we're going to sort of move forward with our game. So it was, yeah, good times.
2005, you know, yeah. Over the years, it took us a long time for the club to beat the Broncos. And I know yourself being the poor brothers up there in Townsville, I think you had one win against the Broncos in a long time. That year, we beat them twice, at home and away. And that was one of my favourite rivalries.
Monts, you hit it on the head. The Broncos, for me, like playing at the Cowboys, you know, big brother versus little brother, was what it was all about. That was like the game that you'd circle at the start of the year, you wanted to be a part of. When I come over to the Warriors, you know, the fact that you guys had that same rivalry, I think there was a few punch-ups the year before, and, you know, you just love playing the best in the comp, and the Broncos for a long period of time were that. And, you know, the fact that you guys had a similar rivalry definitely helped me. The rivalry was all that it was made out to be. It definitely lived up to the everything that they said about it. You know, you guys actually hated them. I hated them. We all hated them. But, you know, it was fantastic. But I think, yeah, Simon Mannering debuted that game. So there was, you know, some fantastic memories. I think it was Hodjo, like off a scrum, and he's just skipped on the outside and palmed him off. And we've got to remember, like, Hodjo was a state of origin player and went on to represent, you know, Australia in a number of test matches. And he made him look like a little school kid. And that's the time where I just went, whoa, we've definitely got something here that we can work with. I knew there was something special about him. When he rocked up to training, I was like, whoa, who's this little skinny white kid? You know, he had the big wraps on him. You know, he definitely developed his leadership skills over the years, and just the player that he went on to be. And, you know, I just have to shake my head, like 300 odd games. And he was definitely one of those guys that you just wanted to play alongside.
Ivan Cleary, who was assistant coach in 2005, then he moved into his first year as your head coach in 2006. Talk to me about how special he was. Did you know it then? And just what made him who he was?
Look, I guess that composure and, you know, that he can bring to a group is what's made him really special as a coach now. And, you know, we've seen what Penrith have been able to do. But those signs were there early on. You know, didn't really get flustered too much with anything and was sort of, you know, no nonsense, you know, in a sense of allowing, you know, the players to go out and play their role and, you know, play their natural games. And, you know, we just try and mould it to work around the game plan. It was great to be a part of those early days with him. And he had success relatively early with us as a playing group. And, you know, unfortunately, we weren't able to go on and get to a grand final. But, you know, the signs were there early for Ivan. You know, I enjoyed my time playing under him.
So when you got told to come over, was it at 6? Was it at 9? Was it at 7? What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I didn't really have any, preconceived ideas. Like, you know, I'd played a lot of my NRL career up to that point at 7. You know, but a lot of my rep football was at 9. So, you know, I used to try and put a bit of a spin on that dummy half role and used to sort of try and play like a bit of a playmaker as well, which I thought sort of worked in well with some of our bigger forwards and had a skill set that I was confident in. And obviously, you know, being at the Warriors sort of allowed me to, you know, develop those types of skills. And playing dummy half, like, you know, I still needed to kick the football to try and take a bit of pressure off our halves and, you know, try and find a repeat set here and there, or, you know, take control of the ruck and get us to our points, because I knew how important that was when I was playing in the halves for the dummy half to do that. So, yeah, I used to try and just bring those out, you know, in our games. Obviously, you know, it didn't always work out, and, you know, definitely got a few raps over the knuckles for different bits and pieces or, you know, wrong decisions along the way. But, mate, I always tried my best and just wanted to, you know, always have that team first mentality and, you know, just try and make those players around me better, which was my focus. So hopefully I was able to do that.
So what position then, if you had to choose between 6, 7 and 9?
It depends on the team, Monts, to be honest, and where I'm sort of needed. I guess where we're going to get the best bang for our buck out of, you know, my skill set. And 2008, 2007, I was, you know, playing a little bit of halfback, but then at certain times I'd have to go and play hooker, you know, just because of our bench rotation. We had Hendo coming off the bench and, you know, Rabsy and Witty sort of, you know, doing some really good things in the halves as well. So, yeah, I was happy to play anywhere as long as I was on the field, mate. And, you know, I was competitive. I wanted to be there. I wanted to be in the action.
Physicality and being in the middle of the field is something you didn't mind doing as a wee man?
The wee man. Well, look, I could be the little wee man with a little loud bark because I had those guys right beside me. You know, they were very quick to step in and sort anything out.
Even at training, carrying on and wanting to do your absolute best and on the field as well, which I love. Did you always have that?
Mate, always had it. Competitive from since I can remember. You know, whether it was playing marbles in the schoolyard or, you know, touch footy with me mates, you know, just wanted to win everything. You know, I guess that's probably what helped me get to where I was. You know, I wasn't the most talented footballer in any stretch. You know, there was players as we were coming through the early years, coming through the junior system, that were a lot better physically than me and had a lot more talent, or the way I used to think about it anyway. And, you know, for me, my evener uppera, if you can call it that, is that even a word, was just my competitive nature. That's how I got on a level playing field with, you know, some of those better players. And, you know, I held that, you know, throughout my whole career. And as soon as that sort of started to change, that's when I knew time was probably to hang up the boots.
26 games in 2007, 27 in 2008. Your best years, and what do you put that down to?
Yeah, I guess, Monty, that was around the time where I started to really understand myself as a player, understand my strengths, and, you know, then I didn't need to go outside of those boundaries, I suppose, to play my best football. Didn't matter what position I was playing. If I had to come on and do a job at hooker or off the bench or, you know, play seven or six or whatever it was, that's all I was focused on, just bringing, I guess, my skill set to the team. And very lucky, you know, thankfully I was able to stay injury free.
Feeney, I don't know if you can just put that down to luck because, you know, you played in the middle of the field, you played with your heart on your sleeve, you didn't mind getting physical, and you're a pretty good trainer as well. So was that down to you doing stuff away from the field? What else do you think it is?
I trained hard and I did what I needed to do, but, you know, I look back on my career now and, you know, being back in that NRL inner sanctum and knowing what the guys are doing now over and above sort of the training that is set out for them, I look back and have like little regrets, if that makes sense. You know, I could have possibly done more. You know, that's hard. And, you know, you're looking in hindsight and, you know, achieved everything that I set out to do. But I'd love to transport myself into today's modern training systems and, you know, the science around why they do things and, you know, the different explosive weights programs and, you know, speed programs and agility stuff that they do. I loved it, but I'd love to do it now. I'd love to see what impact that would have on me as a player, if that makes sense.
2008, finals game against the Storm, the try when Witt finally put the ball down. And you had a few words to say, man. You were the ultimate competitor and you would let them know, mate, and to one of the absolute goats of the game. Can you tell us what you said?
I can't really remember what I did say, Monts, but it wasn't anything nice. It was just good luck next week, perhaps. But, you know, you think about our team, Jerome Rapardi and Manu, the way they opened it up, you know, in such a clutch period of the game where, you know, we're actually behind and, you know, for them to do what they did down that left edge and then Whitty popping up back on the inside, I was probably more angry at Whitty that he didn't just put the ball down. He was sort of showboating around, wasn't he? It's been viewed so many times. But, I played with a lot of passion, Monts, and, you know, definitely tried to make it a little bit personal at times. And, you know, every opportunity you got to get one up over, you know, your opposition player in like Cam Smith or Cooper Cronk or, you know, Billy Slater or whoever it was, I was always there to, you know, to take the moment and enjoy the moment, if you like. But, it was just an awesome, awesome feeling being a part of that Warriors team to, you know, to give Rubes then the opportunity to go back and play a home final before he retired. Like, I was so proud and, you know, just happy to be a part of it all.
Let's talk about that night, the feel in and around the stadium and that iconic run from Mr. Wiki himself coming through. As you who passed the ball to him, you had the best seat in the house to see Soliola get knocked down. And just the moments, the scenes, how do you describe it, the whole overall feeling?
Oh, he was electric, mate. And, you know, you don't like seeing those injuries happen to players. You know, but Rubes was something special. You know, when one of your leaders puts his hands up and runs like that and, you know, just lays it all out there, leaves everything on the field, you can't help but follow him and you can't help but get excited and you can't help but want to play for him. And, you know, I can remember running out that night and I still get chills up my spine just sort of thinking about it, you know, when it was fully blacked out and it was cold, it was wet. And, you know, we had the Roosters on the rack that night and were able to put them away. So, you know, it was all because of that second half performance. And, you know, we just, you know, I guess, grinded them into the ground and come away with a really good win. And, you know, those types of things are, you know, partly because of the crowd and the support that is there from the fans. Rubes definitely was leading from the front. What a way to finish for him, you know, in terms of being able to go out the right way and play finals footy and have an opportunity to come back and play a home final and, you know, do what he did. It was awesome to be a part of.
Okay, the John Hart factor. I mean, he was there early on through Ivan's career and was trying to help him out. How much did he have to say to you guys and how much did you enjoy of it?
Yeah, look, I actually enjoyed it. You know, Hardy was obviously from a union background, had a lot of success there, and you know, understood the relationship there and why I would, you know, really lean on a guy like Hardy. You know, and for us as players as well, you know, having him in and around the group and that inner sanctum also gave us a lot of confidence. You know, just the little one-on-one chats around, you know, just, you know, your preparation and process and those types of things, I really got a lot out of. You know, definitely helped make me the player that I was. I know Ivan really treasured that relationship, and you know what we were able to achieve during that time. You know, showed that he definitely had an impact on the playing group as well.
2009, just the 9 games from yourself. There was talk of transfers back and forth. If you just sum up the year and what happened and why you ended up leaving, because I mean, you left and went on to some bigger and brighter things, which was amazing. But just wanted to let the fans know.
Yeah, look, it was tough months, you know, especially on the back of the 2008 season where we had that big run into the finals and went, you know, all the way to a prelim final, and then, you know, the World Cup playing for the Kiwis and, you know, going on and having that opportunity to hold that trophy up at the end of that tournament was pretty special. Yeah, look, Ivan had just sort of made a decision, mate, and, you know, like in hindsight, you know, I'm probably thankful that, you know, he communicated where the club was going and what his thoughts were around that. You know, I was signed for that 2009 season, but was told that it wouldn't go beyond that. And at first, it definitely hurt because, you know, I loved playing football for the Warriors and, you know, loved the club and, you know, loved Auckland and, you know, our kids and our little family had just sort of started there and we'd started to sort of grow. So it wasn't, something that I probably took on. You know, I was probably a little bit hurt at first, but, you know, in the big scheme of things, that closed door sort of opened up some other things, you know, with the Dragons. Look, yes, I went on to do some other things and win some games and a grand final and all those things, but it doesn't change, you know, what the Warriors did for me. It definitely helped me get there and, you know, I hold the place very fondly, close to my heart. And, you know, as I said, mate, I'd love to pull on that Warriors jersey, you know, just one more time. So who knows, hey? It might come out of retirement once, me and you.
Yes, brother. When you put on that jumper, what does it mean to wear that jumper? And wrap up how it felt to be a Warrior, one of 29 to have played 100 games for the club.
Oh, look, it was special, Monts. Just the culture and you know, the feeling around the club just made you want to wear that jersey and wear it with pride every time you put it on, and you just didn't want to let anyone down, especially the fans and all the, you know, people that work in the club and the front office, all those people that are behind the scenes. You're representing them as well, you know, which is what I loved about playing at the Warriors, mate. It definitely made you feel like that's what you're here to do. That's what, you know, your calling is to wear that jersey with pride, and that's what I try to do each and every time. I wish the boys all the very best this year, and as I said, hopefully it can be a Dolphins Warriors grand final, mate. That'll be the ultimate in 2024.
Feeney, once a Warrior, always a Warrior, bro. You're one of the ultimate Warriors, a mad competitor and a true character as well, man. Thank you so much for your service, brother.
My man, thank you, Mons. Pleasure. Cheers.
And thank you for tuning in as well. I'm Montebetham. I'll see you next week for another episode of Once a Warrior.
Fiend! It opened up just like that. Fiend's got it, running the football. Great ball, great angle, great line, great try. Fiend, Jeff kicking behind the line. Perfect, just perfect. Fiend's away. Fiend, Moff running again. Middleman coming to the fore. Fiend at dummy half. He grabbers, and that is the winner. Fiend, straight through. We'll get there. Great hands by Fiend, who goes for the corner and wins the race. Fiend goes himself and scores. There's the match winner.